How much do the voting habits of a city's residents affect that city's water conservation policies? Researchers have tried to find out by putting together a database of nearly 200 American cities and their conservation policies. They then looked at other characteristics of those cities, including climate, local economy, how arid it is, and growth rate, and then looked at how those cities voted in presidential elections. The results show Phoenix has fewer conservation and policies in place than researchers would have otherwise expected. Jonathan Gilligan is a professor of Earth and Environmental Sciences and Civil and Environmental Engineering at Vanderbilt University. He's also the lead author of the study. He joins me via Skype. And Jonathan, first off, what exactly is the relationship between how residents of a city vote and the kinds of water conservation policies that a city has in place?
So what we found was that the cities that tend to vote more Democratic in presidential elections are a lot more likely to adopt more conservation policies. And for every different kind of water conservation policy, we looked at the total number, and then we looked at the number of mandatory requirements for homeowners and construction. And then we looked at the level of voluntary rebates that people might get, where they get a rebate for voluntary action. And for all of these different things, we found that cities that voted Democratic were likely to adopt more conservation policies.
In terms of figuring out how a particular city votes, I know you use data from presidential elections. Was that the main voting data you used? And I ask because I wonder about your description of Phoenix as a Republican-leaning city. I'm not sure that a lot of people here would consider Phoenix a Republican city.
That's a great question. So the reason we looked at presidential elections is a couple of reasons. The first is we wanted some way we could easily compare cities all across the U.S., and so they're all voting for the same candidates in presidential elections, whereas, say, a Republican candidate running up in New England might actually be to the left of a Democratic candidate running somewhere in the South. The other reasons we chose presidential elections is that for local municipal elections, huge number of those are actually nonpartisan, so you don't see the party of the candidate, and then you'd have to dig down into a lot of subjective interpretive stuff to try to figure out, well, how do I rank this candidate as left or right or Democrat or Republican? And then when people analyze voting, split ticket voting is much, much less common than it once was. And so these days, people mostly vote a straight party ticket. So the presidential vote is actually a pretty good way of, it gives you a good indication of how these people are going to vote for other elections at the state and local level. We did our analysis in two steps. We looked at what's the political characteristic of the entire state, and then we looked at how does that particular city compare to the whole state. So for Phoenix, it's a Republican compared to the whole U.S., but compared to the rest of Arizona, it's voting Democratic. So that would lead us to expect that there would be more water conservation policies there.
Well, I was curious about that because, you know, when you look at presidential level voting, I understand why you guys did that, but water conservation methods would be something that would be enacted by local elections when you elect mayors and city council members, which, as you reference, in some ways it's a different electorate, in some ways maybe slightly different, or in Phoenix's case, in other cities' case, a more nonpartisan basis. So I'm kind of wondering how strong do you find the link then between a city's voting patterns and the kinds of water conservation and efficiency methods that they have?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because that was one of the surprises to us in this study, is that essentially there were two indicators that really stood out for us. One was the general climate in the state. Drier states adopt more water conservation policies. That's not terribly surprising. But we found that both at the state level and also at the city level, the voting in the presidential elections actually was very strongly connected statistically. It was a very strong correlation between the presidential voting and water conservation policies. There are certain exceptions, and Phoenix is to some extent one of our big exceptions here. There are a lot of really divisive environmental issues, but water is something everybody uses. We didn't expect this to be such a partisan issue.
To what do you attribute the fact that Phoenix's ranking on your list was so much lower than what you would have expected it to be?
A couple of things really stood out, one of which is that cities that have very strong pro-growth organizations, people like real estate, land developers, and so forth, there tends to be a lot of opposition to water conservation policies. But a big thing that made Phoenix stand out, particularly here, is the extent that Phoenix has access through the Central Arizona Project to a lot of water, not all of which it uses immediately, but then uses a lot of the surplus to pump into the aquifer. And so Phoenix has a sense of having banked a lot of water in the aquifer from the Central Arizona Project that we believe may reduce a lot of the pressure that the city would otherwise feel to adopt aggressive water conservation policies.
What do you think all this tells us? I mean, when you look at these results and the kinds of conservation rules that cities have in place, and you look at the way that cities vote in presidential races, what does that tell us about sort of how cities are thinking about water and using water and might be planning for water use down the road?
So some of this gives us a sense of which cities are more receptive to different kinds of water conservation policies. And then this could help people in the city government and in the water utilities who might see there's a real need for water conservation policy here, because when we look 20 years down the road, there's going to be trouble if we don't do something. But they might be facing some political opposition locally. And so understanding the nature of that opposition, this will help people to say, okay, what kind of policies might we design that our constituents would be politically receptive to here?
Jonathan Gilligan is a professor of earth and environmental sciences and civil and environmental engineering at Vanderbilt University. We'll post a link to his research at theshow.kgzz.org.